ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 15, text 9. Shrotrang chakshu sparshanam cha. Rasanam ghranam eva cha. Adhishthaya manaschayam. Vishayanupasevate Shrotrang chakshu sparshanam cha Rasanam ghranam eva cha Adhishthaya manaschayam Vishayanupasevate The living entity, thus taking another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects. Purport. In other words, if the living entity adulterates his consciousness with the qualities of cats and dogs, in his next life he gets a cat or dog body and enjoys. Consciousness is originally pure like water, but if we mix water with a certain color, it changes. Similarly, consciousness is pure, for the spirit soul is pure. But consciousness is changed according to the association of the material qualities. Real consciousness is Krishna consciousness. When therefore one is situated in Krishna consciousness, he is in his pure life. But if his consciousness is adulterated by some type of material mentality, in the next life he gets a corresponding body. He does not necessarily get a human body again. He can get the body of a cat, dog, hog, demigod, or one of many other forms, for there are 8,400,000, 84 lakh species. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishtaya manaschayam Vishayan upasevate. From one perspective, the Bhagavad Gita, and in fact all the Vedic literature, can be said to be on the subject of consciousness. What is the main subject? Consciousness. Of course, it could also be said that the main subject is Dharma, or it could be said that the main subject is Krishna, or the main subject is self-realization. All these statements are correct. They're all interrelated. This particular verse gives some elaboration on how this and the verses before and after this give some idea of how the living being is traveling from body to body to body on the manoratha, the chariot of the mind. We get different bodies, not exactly according to the Darwinian theory of evolution, but there is evolution and devolution of consciousness. In other words, if one develops the mentality of a cat or a dog in this life, then one will get the body of a cat or a dog, maybe in the next life or maybe some other lives, because it's a very complex process how one goes from one body to another. But the general warning is there. Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita, Name Bhakta Pranashyati, my devotee is never vanquished. He also states, Swapamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayad, even a little practice of this Dharma will save one from the greatest type of fear. And Oh, and there's of course also Apichet Sudara Charo Bhajate Mamananya Bhak Sadhureva Samantavya Samyag Vyavasito Hisaha. One who commits even most abominable activities, if his intention is to serve me fully, Krishna says, then he should be considered saintly. So it may be that devotees, hearing these descriptions, become somewhat complacent. Especially in Kali Yuga, most people are born, those who are born in human bodies, are born in human bodies but with the mentality of cats and dogs. They come up from the animal species to the human species, but they didn't really become a human being. By their activity, by their proclivities, which manifest as their activities, it's clear that they're still very much in animalistic consciousness. But one who takes to Krishna consciousness is supposed to become godly. Animalistic consciousness, that can be equated with the demoniac consciousness described in Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter. And those who are striving to rise above that, they may be considered of godly consciousness. And godly consciousness manifests as godly behavior. So yesterday I spoke about people who take to Krishna consciousness, which is the highest manifestation of godly behavior. The beginning of godly behavior is to follow the Vedic principles. Even at a very low level, if one follows the Vedic principles, even if one is following in tamagun, the beginning of his godly life is there. The very fact that he's following the Vedic principles accepts some authority. The highest level of godly life is Krishna consciousness. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mercy that in this Kali Yuga, Krishna consciousness, the highest level on the yoga ladder, or the highest level of Vedic following, is offered to the lowest people, even those who have no background of Vedic cultural life, which means persons who are on the level of cats and dogs. And as I discussed yesterday, that it's quite often seen that persons who come from animalistic backgrounds, even while practicing Krishna consciousness, they revert to that kind of behavior. So there may be some complacency, thinking that, well, anyway, Krishna is very merciful, so if I fall down, he'll protect me. In the narration of Ajamil, it's described that Ajamil, even though he wasn't from an animalistic background, he was from a highly cultured Brahmin family, still he fell into animalistic life. Then, by Krishna's grace, he was saved from that. That he was saved from that, well, he was saved from the effect that would normally be there of going to hell, because he chanted Narayan at the time of death. If he hadn't chanted Narayan at the time of death, then there's no saying that the Vishnu Dutas would have come, even though he had chanted Narayana previously. But it wasn't that he was immediately delivered because he chanted the name of Narayana at death. People often ask about Mahatma Gandhi, who is said to have chanted Hey Ram at the time of death, although according to Naturam Godse's brother, who was told by Naturam Godse before the assassin of Mahatma Gandhi, before Naturam Godse got hanged, he was told that he never said that. He didn't say it. So, but even if he did say it, it doesn't necessarily mean that he went back to Godhead. What's his conception of Ram? His conception of Ram is not that of a pure devotee. It's not a pure devotee's conception of Lord Rama. But we see in the case of Ajamil, his death was due and he was delivered from death, but he still had to go on and do further. Well, he had to take up sadhana for purification. And it's very clear that he deeply regretted his previous sinful activities and didn't continue with them. Yesterday I was talking about devotees or members of the Krishna Conscious Movement who go on habitually in sinful activities, especially indulging in illicit sex, and seem to think it's normal or acceptable because in the broader society, cat and dog society in which we live, it is normal and acceptable, especially in the Western countries, and increasingly so in this country and all over the world. And within our Krishna Conscious Movement, it's also more or less normal and accepted. In this, there's no major cultural difference in this regard, in attitudes towards sexuality, than in the broader outside world. There is the idea generally that man and woman living together should be married, even if they've already been divorced and married a few times, which I don't know how much meaning there is to such marriage if you're hopping around from one partner to another and putting some sheen of respectability on it by officially calling it a marriage. It's certainly not what in Vedic culture, or for that matter any culture, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, or what traditionally would be considered respectable or normal life. I'll just in brief give a few instances within my experience of the cat and dog culture. Oh, Krishna, painful. Monkey-like disciples. A disciple marry a woman who's already been married before. She has a young daughter. I give permission because her guru is promoting it and pushing. Quite frankly, I often give permission for people to get married and this and that, but it's like Srila Prabhupada, Shruta Kirti Prabhu said that Prabhupada gave permission for one divorce. And then Shruta Kirti Prabhu, he couldn't understand that, and he asked why, and Prabhupada said, well, they would have done it anyway, even if I'd have said no, so to save them from the offense of disobeying me, I just, I allowed them. So I also do something. It's like, you know, they're going to do it anyway. So anyway, and then I was staying in the house and for 3 days. There was a tense atmosphere. They didn't, obviously not getting on very well, but they kept quiet, so to speak. Then I left. My flight was cancelled, so I came back unexpectedly, and they're already, after 3 days of not fighting, they were yelling and screaming at each other. And exactly the words of Srila Prabhupada came to mind, cats and dogs. And the poor girl, the little girl, she's 11 years old and just looking so distressed. They had no compassion for the young girl. If they want to fight, they could fight privately when she's not there. But this is one of the worst forms of child abuse, that the parents fight in front of each other, and then, I mean, they were verbally fighting, but not in the, anyway. One disciple, aged over 40 years old, male, meets a woman more than 10 years older than him when he's out on book distribution, and starts preaching to her, and it develops into a romantic relationship. And then he's living in the temple and going out regularly to meet her. And he can't understand that there's something wrong with this. When he comes to meet me, he starts talking about, well, I've been doing this book distribution and this. And I said, yeah, well, what about this? What about this bizarre relationship that you're in? I can't remember exactly what I said. To which he's surprised, and like I did something wrong. Oh, you don't want to hear about the preaching? As if his he's preaching, but what he does in his private life has no... It's like people talk about their private life. Whatever you do in your private life is your own business. I don't understand how the temple even allowed him to remain in the temple. He couldn't understand a simple thing. He's supposed to be a monk. He's supported by public donations. And he has a romantic relationship going on the side. And if a brahmachari wants to marry, that's one thing, but it should be done in a respectable way. And marriage means you marry for the sake of having children, but there's no case of having children. Well, nowadays with injections there is. I guess even a woman over 50 could have children. But anyway, the whole thing is bizarre. Then another. One devotee is living with a woman in the same house and brings her to me and says, she wants to be initiated by you. And I say, well, how can I initiate? She's living with you and you're not married. At least you should marry her. And he said, well, just like the four Kumaras refused Lord Brahma's order, so I'm going to refuse this order to get married. He's living with her in the same house, but he won't marry her because he thinks he's a brahmachari. And then he comes back the next day and says, well, look, you know, I'm doing so much chanting, and we're looking after cows. Doesn't that offset the what I'm doing wrong? It's like an atonement. All those who are eager to be gurus, listen here, the joys of guruship. And don't think that, well, I'll be very selective and I'll only choose those who are very good. But you don't know what they're going to do. What strange ideas they come up with. But, well, in that particular country, that area, it's... You might not be surprised if the devotees are messed up, because the ex-GBC of that area had disciples there also. He fancied one of his disciples who was already married to someone else, so he got her to divorce her husband, who was also his disciple, then he married her. These kind of things are going on. Disgusting, disgraceful, but you can't say anything about it, otherwise you're an offender. Some devotees in that same country, husband and wife, the wife especially, was very upset. Because her daughter, who is about 14 years old, first found out about the phenomenon of sex changing, that by surgical operation you can have your sex changed, when there was a man became a woman. I can't remember which way round it is. Woman became a man, or... No, it's a man became a woman, that's right. She first found out about that when the devotees some of the devotees were complaining that the pujari in the temple in that country is a man who became a woman. She never heard of such a thing, and they were very upset that our daughter found out about it from the devotees, because one of the devotees had a man who became a woman. And they're trying to train the daughter from her birth to be a devotee, and showing the devotees this is the standard of life that we should live on. And then she found out this way. Oh, and then some of the devotees complained to the ISKCON deity worship minister, who replied that it's okay. She, he, it, whatever, can be a pujari. It's okay. I guess he's afraid to say anything else, because it's probably illegal to say anything else, and you might be stuck in prison if you have any objection to it. I don't know. Or maybe he actually thinks it is okay. I really don't know. It's not only in the West. I mean, here in India there are so many cases also that I heard this. I don't know if it's exactly true, but one of my disciples preaching to other disciples that, well, you don't have to do what the guru says, because we went to him and he said something to us and he said that we can't follow it. So I said, well, all right. The duty of a sannyasi is to preach the highest standard, but if the householder can't follow to the highest standard, then he should follow to the best standard he can. So instead of taking it that, all right, I'm not really up to the standard, but let me try and gradually come up to the standard, he takes it as that, well, you don't have to do what the guru says, just do whatever you like, and preaches that to others. Of course, the person doing that is not grossly fallen, but it's disappointing. Then some disciples, husband and wife, externally they seem to be very cultured, but time to time I hear how they're fighting like cats and dogs. One devotee, or whatever you want to call him, who I initiated, and I'm afraid in his next life he's going to have to suffer very much, because he seems to have a penchant for causing suffering to women. He sometimes says he wants to get married, and then he's introduced to some girl. This happened here in this city quite some years ago. He doesn't live in this city. Well, I don't know, I think the girl was from here. And he met her and then said, oh, too black. Said right, told her on her face. Well, he himself is black, but too black, too ugly, I don't know. Told her directly. Oh. So then he gets married, and then after a short time tells his wife, oh, you're the cause of all my, I can't make any spiritual advancement because of you. And just almost taking pleasure in being very cruel to her. She just wants to be a good wife, but he won't see her. Says, maybe later, like this. So, no consideration for others. Just like the dog, he enjoys the bitch and has no concern about, no responsibility or anything. Then so many cases of love marriage. Devotees don't ask me, they get in a love marriage, and then afterwards they come and ask me what should they do, because they find they have so many problems. One wife, her husband's actually a good devotee. She has no real complaint about him. He says he's dirty, he doesn't keep himself clean properly, but then she tells him, well, actually, I hate you. Just bizarre. She has no complaint, doesn't beat her, doesn't, neither physically nor mentally. She has no complaint. The biggest complaint she has is that, well, he's not very clean. And she hates him. And she tells him on his face, "I hate you." And on and on and on. The middle-aged grihastha who thought, well, I'll give counseling and guidance to younger grihasthas, and the first couple he starts to counsel, he gets emotionally, romantically involved with the woman. And that was the end of his counseling career. Fortunately, it was the end of his counseling career. He didn't go on and say, well, it's okay. The other devotees were so upset with him that they... that he became embarrassed. Then he stopped coming to the temple also. And don't mess around with others' wives. Actually, men, they shouldn't, even if they're grihastha, they shouldn't be strictly involved with any other women, even in the name of preaching or counseling. Men should deal with men and women should deal with women. Man should deal with his own wife, his own mother, his own daughters, even with his own daughters. Should be, when they get older, he should be somewhat careful. Matra swasra tu hitra va naviviktasa no bhavet balavan indriya gramo vidvan sam apikarshati manu ones. Srimad Bhagavatam, same verses there. Even a learned person should not sit close or not alone with wife, mother or daughter, because the senses are so strong that even in that circumstance they can disturb us. Then what else? We have the pujari who... Pujari, such a pure soul, becomes emotionally, sexually attracted, falls down. Anyway, you get the idea. The cat and dog consciousness. We see the all around us. As I was saying yesterday, there are so many inducements to become sexually fallen. We really have to come out of that consciousness and be, as the purport which I read yesterday, one has to be very strict in following the regulative principles. Then there's a chance to become free of all these things. Otherwise, if we're not strict in following, then we're going to be in trouble. Our mind is already putting us in trouble. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to introduce Varnashram Dharma. And for years he'd been telling the devotees, well, devotees are above all this. So when Srila Prabhupada started speaking about this, some of the devotees said, well, aren't the devotees above Varnashram? Don't we need this? And Prabhupada said, well, if they're above Varnashram, then why are they falling down? If you're above Varnashram means we don't need all these social structures and rules and regulations, because the purpose in one lecture or conversation, whatever, Srila Prabhupada said, what is the big plan behind Varnashram? He said, is overcoming the sexual desire. So if we're not beyond that, and we think, well, I'm a devotee, I'm beyond Varnashram, then we're, and therefore I can just mix up men, women, here, there, this, that, I don't have to practice very strictly, then we're liable to fall down. So many cases of a man preaches to a woman and he's just preaching to her and it's a spiritual relationship, and then you find out a little later that it went from the spiritual to the material. It might have started off with good intentions. There are many, many discussions. Srila Prabhupada said so much about Varnashram. I'll just read from one letter. This is from 1973, letter. Srila Prabhupada wrote to a disciple. I think it was the disciple, Madhukara. Prabhupada wrote, "The Varnashram Dharma system is scientifically arranged by Krishna to provide facility for delivering the fallen souls back to home, back to Godhead. And if we make a mockery of this system by whimsically disrupting the order, that we must consider. That will not be a very good example. If so many young boys and girls so casually become married and then go away from each other, and the wife is a little unhappy, the husband is neglecting her in so many ways like this. If we set this example, then how the thing will go on properly?" Because this devotee had got, it seems from the letter, he'd got married and then after a short time and he thought, "Oh, I don't like it, I should take sannyas." "If we set this example, then how the thing will go on properly? Householder life means wife, children, home. These things are understood by everyone. Why have our devotees taken it as something different?" It's understood. Wife means, marriage means you have a wife, you have a home, all these things. And everyone knows that, but our devotees don't know it. Why don't our devotees understand it? Well, I guess because hippie background, cat and dog background. They simply have some sex desire, get themselves married, and when the matter does not fill their expectations, immediately there is separation. These things are just like material activities, prostitution. The wife is left without a husband, and sometimes there is a child to be raised. In so many ways, the proposition that you and some others are making becomes distasteful. We cannot expect that our temples will become places of shelter for so many widows and rejected wives. That will be a great burden, and we shall become the laughing stock in the society. Yeah, if we follow strictly and establish Varnashram, then devotees will be very respected for that. But if we talk about high spiritual consciousness and we're living like cats and dogs, then we'll become a laughing stock. There will be unwanted progeny also, and there will be illicit sex life that we are seeing already. And being the weaker sex, women require to have a husband who is strong in Krishna consciousness, so that they may take advantage and make progress by sticking tightly to his feet. If their husband goes away from them, what will they do? So many instances are already there in our society, so many frustrated girls and boys. So, I have introduced this marriage system in your Western countries because there is the custom of freely intermingling male and female. For those who don't know, those who are young, maybe 20, 25 years old, it used to be that here in India, not very long ago, that even in the schools and colleges where the boys and girls, it was co-education, but they would not ever talk with each other. The boys and girls, they'd be in the same classroom, but they'd never talk. And it was completely socially taboo that they would talk. It's changed a lot, hasn't it? Therefore, marriage is required just to engage the boys in devotional service, never mind the distinction of living status. But our marriage system is a little different than in your country. Srila Prabhupada means here the Indian system. We do not sanction the policy of quick divorce, which is quite common here in India. Quick. The husband marries, they get married, but then the husband keeps on with his girlfriend from before, or the girlfriend keeps on with her boyfriend from before. Or there are so many cases I know that one devotee told me they got married and then the wife said, "Okay, now you have to, now we'll live in my parents' house." And he said, "No, we'll live in my parents' house. That's the normal thing." He said, "No." And that was it. Within about 2 weeks, she was back in her parents' house. Another case. There's so many cases I know. They were living in Bangalore. He got a transfer to Gujarat. And she said, "Well, I have my job here. I'm going to stay here." So she stayed and they divorced because she preferred her job to her husband. We are supposed to take husband or wife as eternal companion or assistant in Krishna conscious service, and there is a promise never to separate. Of course, if there is any instance of very advanced disciples, married couple, and they have agreed that the husband shall now take sannyas or the renounced order of life, being mutually very happy by that arrangement, then there is ground for such separation. But even in those cases, there is no question of separation. The husband, even if he is a sannyasi, he must be certain that his wife will be taken care of nicely and protected in his absence. Now, so many cases are there of unhappiness by the wife who has been abandoned by her husband against her wishes. So how can I sanction such a thing? I want to avoid setting any bad example for future generations, Srila Prabhupada said. Don't we wish that our members of our society would take that seriously? Setting a bad example for future generations. That's an important line for the mood and mission, Srila Prabhupada, talking about basic morality in family relationships and sexual relationships. Srila Prabhupada, I want to avoid setting any bad example for future generations. But it's all bad example. There is the last year, I believe it was, I was present when one devotee, senior member of our movement, mentioned about his wife. This is when he was giving a lecture or something. There are about 100 devotees there. I said, "And wife, and we've been married for 38 years, something like that." And everyone clapped, because in the West, for any devotee to have been married to the same woman for 38 years is a rare phenomenon. So he's considered something very good. He's married once and remained married to the same woman throughout his life. Oh, amazing. Whew. And he actually married her even before he came to Krishna consciousness, which is... So he seems he had that, or they, it's from both sides, they had that much culture before they came to the movement. Whereas we see here in India, it's quite pronounced that people come to our movement, they're already cultured, and then by association with our devotees, their culture goes down. They get a worse culture in our movement than they had at home, which is, again, disgraceful, but it's going on. These things are going on, as Srila Prabhupada would say. So what's the solution? Well, Prabhupada gave that he said we have to strongly stick to the regulative principles. If everyone in the movement doesn't agree to it, then at least some should, and set a good example. These communities we're trying to develop, farm communities, varnashram communities, they're meant for setting a good example for the broader society and also for our own devotees. That if we're serious to practice Krishna consciousness, then we should seriously consider changing our way of life from being that we chant somehow or other chanting 16 rounds in between our busy life of rushing off to work and looking after the family, and then once a week going to the temple, and once or twice a year going on some yatra. Instead of that, making actually a drastic adjustment to our lifestyle so that we can be an association of devotees 24 hours a day and have the opportunity to engage in Krishna consciousness directly instead of making up some bogus philosophy that our work is our devotional service. When our career is our devotional service, as if as if we're doing it only for the sake of pleasing Krishna. Well, we should consider that and take that up. And in this way we can be Krishna conscious all the time, but illicit sex will ruin everything. If in our communities there is illicit sexual activity, then everything will be spoiled. Kali will enter this way. We have to be very careful. So we can't say everything's okay, whatever you... Doesn't matter if you have sex like cats and dogs, because we're all devotees. I don't see that Prabhupada ever said it was okay. He was forgiving, but he didn't say it was okay. He didn't say it's all right. We have to be very strict in these matters. If we're living among non-devotees, we can't be strict. If we're at work with non-devotees, especially if the wife goes to work and then she's with she'll spend considerably more time each week with men who are not her husband than with her actual husband, and then what can you expect but trouble? So all these things should be understood very well. It's not that all of my, by no means all, it's not at all that all of my disciples are descending into cat and dogness or monkeyness, but it does go on. Srila Prabhupada said we should be quite lenient in giving first initiation and quite strict in giving second initiation. So some lenience may be there, but we should be careful also. We don't want just to initiate everyone left, right and center, and then later on you have so many problem cases, so-called disciples. You want to see that people are at least somewhat serious, although you can never really judge. And even those who are serious, it may be that it's that they just slip. That's due to some previous bad impression in their consciousness or whatever. So that's a case of apichet sudara acharo bhajate mamanam. That may happen. That may not even be very surprising, but we can't legitimize it or say that, well, it's okay. It's not okay. Well, it's not okay to do it on a regular basis. I myself, while saying, I have to say this, someone should say something. So, while saying all these things, otherwise if we don't talk about it, then how is anyone going to improve if we think it's all, everything's okay? For grihasthas also, it's not just for brahmacharis and sannyasis. Grihasthas, they also have to be very... A man, he should not mix up with other men's wives. It's an obvious thing. While saying all these things, I have to remember also that it's only by the grace of Srila Prabhupada that I'm not just another baboon living in the United Kingdom, which that was what Srila Prabhupada saved me from. I don't want to say that as an excuse, as a preemptive excuse for fall down, and I prayed to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees to save me. But we have to take some steps also to save us from fall down. And as for sannyasis, they should live mostly among brahmacharis and other sannyasis, and they shouldn't mix up very much with women. They should not be cultivating an attitude of wanting to enjoy this world. It's a very tight situation, very, very mire is surrounding us at all moments, so we have to be very, very careful to resist the attractions of Maya. Such a great gift Srila Prabhupada has given us, so we shouldn't spoil it by descending into subhuman behavior. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Yeah. Yeah, from Varnashram means everyone's at different levels, but they make progress from the level they're at. Vanaprastha and sannyas, we don't see so many devotees. Well, we should preach that. Not that you go on working till you retire, then just stay at home, but when they're older and they can engage in full-time service. I'm trying to encourage that. That when the children are married, and then there's no need to go on working. Vanaprastha doesn't mean they have to travel, and they can stay in, or they can stay close to a temple and do full-time service, or they can stay in some community like Nanda Gokula, like you're doing, do full-time service, not officially taking Vanaprastha, but actually living like that. I've never heard of any such thing as Vanaprastha Diksha. It seems to be just a change in one's mode of life. Anything else? No. All right. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.